welcome to everybody. I'm looking forward to the content of this class. The primary focus is on self-compassion, compassionately embracing what is. I would like to start out by just giving a brief overview of the primary topics, followed by a short opening meditation for centering, and then a reading. And from there, we'll start to share around self-compassion and compassionately embracing. The overview is I'm going to focus on the nature of self-compassion, sharing with you my definition, and throughout it'll be a sharing and some experiential processes around recognizing the flow of life and the obstructions to the flow when we are resisting or in a disconnecting mode, and how we can restore this open flow with self-compassion. Do a whole group experiential exercise in compassionately embracing, and one or two paired exercises, and throughout opportunities for sharing, harvesting, asking clarifying questions, which I do encourage. I'd like just to ask you all to, for our opening meditation, the purpose of which is to become as present to your experiencing as possible, the present moment experiencing, to begin centered and focused. And so just for a short period of time, I'd ask everyone to close your eyes, bring your awareness to yourself, to your inner experiencing. Notice and name anything that you're feeling or sensing in your body. If you feel eager, warm, tight, nervous, are there any tensions in the body? Just do a quick scan of the body and notice what seems prominent. Are there any strong feelings or sensations that are stronger and so calling your attention? And then notice if there's any feeling, sensing that is quieter or softer, a part of the body that you may not apparently be feeling anything but is still there. Scan the whole body. And then notice in a very general way, if you can sense in a sort of assessing, watchful way in your inner experiencing, you can ask yourself, are you relatively open now or relatively closed? Just a sort of feeling. There's no judgment in it. Open to a flow, open in a non-defended, non-judgmental space, or are you in some space of holding in, pushing down, tight, constricted, or some variations of both? Just acknowledge where you are with regard to these states. Whatever you are feeling or sensing or experiencing, breathe into it and create, if you can, an inner allowing, an inner spaciousness, that all of it is okay. All of it is there and present. And there's room for all of your feeling, all of your experiencing. Allow yourself to breathe more fully. And I'm going to share a reading with you, so you can shift into a receptiveness to receive this reading. This is from an interview with Stephen Schwartz by the editor of the Sun magazine. Actually, the title of the interview is called The Prayer of the Body. Inside our loneliness is a longing to be released from the pain of separation and the confusion it entails. We've all been taught that there is something wrong or even dangerous about being lonely. but such an assumption is based on a misunderstanding of what loneliness is and how it relates to our life here. Loneliness is a kind of wisdom, a recognition of something, an urge toward genuine transformation. There is nothing to fear about loneliness. There's no reason to run from it or to tighten down when it comes. If we allow ourselves the chance to attend to the loneliness, to be with it at a feeling level, physically, then the harsh overtones dissolve. What we called loneliness turns out to be something else entirely. Each of us is longing for something. This longing runs deep. Sometimes it manifests as loneliness, sometimes as grief, anger, or something else. Whatever way it comes, we can be with it respectfully, openly, allowing it to exist. This so changes our relationship to it that we never need fear it or run from it again. There are times when the body is calling for attentive care. There are times when the signal is there, but our response is self-hatred or dislike, and the body's call gets ignored. Loneliness is such a call. We need to turn to ourselves as a mother to a child and wait, without judgment. Just take a moment to allow whatever that resonance is in receiving that reading, how it resonates, touches you, or whatever response you have to it. So because I really enjoy ongoing connection, so that I'm not the only one that does talking and like to have a sense of connectedness and resonance in the group, I'm going to, from time to time, ask for responses. So I'll ask that now. Short responses, authentic resonant responses to the meditation or the readings.
I've spent a good deal of my life being alone. And what was resonating for me is times where that feeling of loneliness is there. All the things he was saying about attending to the body, the emotions, and that at some point there becomes a shift in what I call from loneliness to solitude.
Yeah.
Where there is just so much beauty in being alone and connected to the self and the universe. Enjoying the reading. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
The little phrase that just kind of popped up for me was it said, I had actually read that a couple weeks ago, but hearing you read it today was respect the loneliness. I thought, wow, that is then, you know, you're in that place of a different, it's a very different place with it. So that just really kind of just peaked there, that word, respect the loneliness. So that was really what spoke to me.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'd like to go on to share about my own understanding, principles around compassion, self-compassion. I did provide a handout where I described the principle and my own definition. I'm not going to go through every single one of those and read it, but I provided that for your own benefit, for your own reference. But there's a principle in compassion and self-compassion. The principle is that with reference to this particular class, the focus is on self-compassion, although the principles are relevant to relationship when we provide a compassionate space to another. I'll be speaking primarily around self-compassion, when we can provide that relationship to our inner experience in which there is an unconditional acceptance and allowing. So the principle is that when we can bring this inner spaciousness to the tight, knotted, distressing experience, it liberates the energy that's caught in the knot. That liberation is the life force. So compassion is something that liberates and restores our life. That's the principle. And the simple definition I have, it's the opening, it's a welcoming, non-conceptual, non-judgmental, spacious awareness of the heart. When we discover and open to this quality of being, we live compassion. So in a group like this, or any group, for me, this is an invitation. It's not so much a talk so that you have a conceptual understanding, which there's nothing wrong with that, but there's certain limitations. It's an invitation, even as I speak right now, it's an invitation for our vulnerability to open to what is vulnerable and open within you, which is to say an invitation to authenticity. So it's about creating a space of this allowing non-judgmental acceptance within ourselves. And when we do that, it creates a sense of who we really are, our true essence becomes strengthened. So that when we bring self-compassion to ourselves, there's a healing and transformational process. But my understanding is that the healing and transformation is not the primary focus. The healing of pain, the transformation of distressing states is almost a secondary focus or part of the process. The primary focus is life-centered, not pain-centered. It's around the strengthening of our authenticity and our being. So whenever we have emotional pain, the self-compassion process asks us to enter into our bodily experience. And when we breathe, it's actually a physiological part that allows the relaxing to take place. It's a physiological exercise that breathing and tightness are not compatible. Then there's already on a physical level, an allowing that takes place. And whenever there is inner pain or constriction, there's almost always, consciously or unconsciously, thoughts and judgments associated with that contraction. And the thoughts and the story almost always are a resistance to it. They're the obstacles to the energy itself. And the resistance often takes the form of, we want the pain to go away, which is very understandable. We want to fix it. We want to be in a different state. And so there's a kind of pushing away of the experience when we're in distressing states. While this is understandable, it's a function of our deep conditioning and the emotional pain that we've experienced. So self-compassion is actually a radical turnaround to this. We go into our pain. We move towards it with respect, with allowing, and it starts to shift eventually, maybe not immediately. But when we come to our pain over and over again with the complete acceptance of what it is without trying to push it away, something begins to happen. Something in us begins to relax. And so in that relaxation, this is a felt experience, and it's not a conceptual experience in which we tell ourselves, I'm going to accept myself. It's a form of feeling the resistance and relaxing the resistance. So often the thought that we tell ourselves is, I don't like this, this is bad, this is wrong, I want to get over it, I want to get through it. Well, I've done all this work with NVC and all these other lifelong healing processes, and why is this still bothering me? Why am I still in this painful situation? And so the first recognition is a feeling recognition that we're actually approaching and fully accepting whatever it is that we previously wanted to change. So let's just say the contracting, distressing experience is fear. So we're initially, when we're in a very hard place of that fear, it's a kind of frozen fear. It is not moving. But one of the things that initially happens with the presence of this opening compassion is that when we bring the empathic presence to it, something begins to happen. The frozenness begins to move, and it begins to shift gradually into something that's softer, and then eventually tender and fragile. There's a realization that there's a very fragile life within us. And when we stay with that fragility, often it takes the form, if we're aware of it, if we ask ourselves, is this a young and innocent part of us? So often the young and innocent part arises. And then we can approach this younger innocent part as we might a child who is in a difficult emotional space and simply provide our warmth to it. And then we ask, what am I longing for? What does this energy long for? This is sort of a quick overview of it, and I know that talking about it is a very sort of approximate map or description of a process. And in some ways, it's helpful to have a map and a description, but it's not enough. What we need is the practice. What we need to be able to do is, with the pointer of a map and a process, It points the way that we can enter into our experience in a different way. And when there are hurdles or obstacles, then further maps help us to approach these hurdles. So I've said a lot of words right now, and from what I've said so far, I'd like to ask the group or anyone, maybe two or three people, if there's anything you'd like to comment on or have any questions for clarity with anything I've shared so far, or any experience that it brought up in listening to what I was sharing.
I think I heard you expressing that sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I in this painful experience?
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think I heard you say that it's sort of, that question sort of leads us to something else, and I missed that.
Okay. I don't remember what I said, but one of the things that is coming to me now, that when we ask ourselves that question, I think that it's after the intent, there's a sort of an implicit something that's there, that if I could only understand it, then I could make it go away. Then it would change. Then I could heal it. Only if I understand it. So I ask myself the question, why? Why am I feeling this way? And my experience is that kind of understanding, which could be called rational or an analytical understanding, or just trying to understand the causality of it, doesn't help. Even if I knew the causality of it, it doesn't help the resolution or the healing or the transformation of the pain itself. But I think it's a rather common, inherent to the part of our mind that wants to understand experience, because if we understand it, it will change. I don't know if that addresses the same or something different than you heard.
That's very helpful. We're asking for an analytical solution or something. And
yeah.
Great.
And further, next class, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what I call the anatomy of protective and defensive structures, which talks about the part of the mind that operates in this defended way, that tries to understand experience. That part of our mind does not have the capacity to deeply feel the experience. Another part of us has that capacity. And so I'll go more further into that. Okay, thank you.
I have a cat, and the cat's been trying to get up in my lap, and I don't want her up in my lap.
Yeah.
So I have found her a space right next to me where I can stroke her and give her the attention that she wants. And it was just interesting that was all happening while you were talking about this spaciousness, because it's just a little bit more visual than if it were something inside myself.
Yeah, it's a little bit more visual in the sense that you can see it in what could be called a more objective way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you are saying, or you have any awareness that there, what you can see sort of outside or objectively has a similar component to an internal dynamic.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
I
right,
have a
okay.
cat inside myself that wants attention.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, that reminds me of my cat. And my initial thing is I'm focusing on something and she's meowing. And, you know, she wants attention. She wants to jump up on my lap. And my first defended reaction is to say, shut up. Leave me alone. Get off. But I realize that when I'm in that space, it's not the external space that is primary, but it's what's going on inside of me when my cat simply wants love. What mm-hmm. is that internally? It doesn't mean I have to give her love, but it means it allows me to approach my internal state in a way that is much more alive, much more flowing, rather than the tight reaction I get when I'm irritated.
Go away, don't bother me.
Yeah, it's a painful state to be in, even though it could be said, you know, it's like this mundane, everyday little situation that's not really big. It's a representation, I think, of how I live my everyday life. And so if I value and if my intention is to be in a more unrestricted, undefended state for the sense of my internal well-being, then I want to address it. I want to address my inner life with respect to the outer stimulus. Great. Thank you. Again, I'm probably going to repeat myself over and over again because the principles in what I'm sharing and the practices are so basic, are so simple, that I do find myself repeating myself a lot. So one of the things I want to say again is that the practice of self-compassion is non-conceptual. It's not something that I tell myself or talk myself into. The practice of unconditional self-acceptance goes beyond my asserting within myself things like, I am okay, everything's going to be okay, just relax and things will be all right. So the principle is that I can't talk myself into self-compassion. So for me, the radical shift is creating a different capacity to enter into experience from a feeling, sensing stand. So having said that, I notice that you have a hand up. I'd like to respond to your hand.
I just wanted to say I resonated deeply with what you were saying about I want to live my life from a non-defensive posture. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. Well, actually, let me just pause and check with you. That resonates with you. So I'm sensing there's something in you that resonates with that touches something that is deeply valuable, something that you long for. Can you feel that longing?
Yes. I want to trust life more, if that's the word.
Because I imagine that there are instances in which you do trust life and you enjoy the experience. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's qualities of that. You said, I want more of this.
Yes, I
so
do.
One of the I don't think that you're alone. I do believe that all of us want to be able to live in, whatever words I use to describe it, you have to find your own words. Live in the authentic flow of life, unobstructed, because then we can truly enjoy life. It does not preclude enjoyment of the experience that we call pain. It includes that also. So that means it's unobstructed. There's no resistance inside. I don't defend against anything. I want to be in that state of liberation. It's a feeling liberation state. My sense is that we feel it energetically throughout the body. Whenever we're in a state or have an experience of joy, of warmth, of a sense of fulfillment that I believe everybody feels and experiences, there are these moments, perhaps peak experiences, that I think deeply in our being, this is the longing of the life force in us, to live in a way that's consistent with the life force itself. And so I'm wondering if that's enough, or you wanted me to say more about this.
That's quite a lot, because what you've now said about also not resisting the pain in life is the whole thing for me. So it's sort of, I need to be with that for a while as well, because I wasn't taking that in initially. Yeah. So I'm glad you expanded on it. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm hoping to expand on that a little bit more. I'm going to ask to do an exercise, each person to do an exercise here. Maybe we'll do it in the whole group, and then I'd like to break into pairs so that you can have a more direct sharing of your experience with a partner and have that be a mutual sharing. But I want to just say a little bit more about the pain before we go into the experience, because I think it's the painful experiences that create resistance. I also believe that it's joyful experiences that we have resistance about, that we don't really allow the fullness of joy, of happiness, of creativity, of exuberance to flow through us. There's unconscious and conscious resistances to it. But pain is a more common one that we resist, because the part of our protective mind, the part of our defensiveness, tells us or convinces us that something bad is going to happen if we feel pain. We're deeply conditioned from the culture, and we're deeply conditioned from previously traumatic experiences. So I felt it before, it didn't feel good, it was horrible. Why should I feel that again? Am I a masochist? Why would I want to feel pain? I want to get away from it. I want to make myself feel better. And that's the logic of the part of the defensive mind. And so I don't necessarily expect you to believe what I'm saying, but to be open to the possibility that we're, each of us can recognize this dynamic that is going on in the part of the mind that is conditioned, the part of the mind that defends against a deeper feeling. So what I'm going to ask each person to do right now, and then we will break into pairs. Since it's a more readily connectable experience to start with something that was unpleasant, distressful, where there were unmet needs, I'd like to ask each person right now to bring to your attention likely a recent experience you've had. Could be in relationship to another person, could be in relationship to a cat, could be in relationship to a situation or event in life, but bring to your attention something that is alive in which you experienced some emotional pain, distress, disappointment, hurt around unmet needs or values. So I'll give you a moment to think about that. You can remember, imagine it, and just bring it into your awareness. Okay. As you're bringing it into your awareness, I may be going at a pace that is, I just want to name that may be too fast for people, maybe too slow for others, maybe just right for others. So I'll do the best I can in that recognition. So now there are different dimensions of your inner experiencing, and I'm going to ask you to bring your attention to each of them. The first one is when you think of this thing that happened, this experience that occurred in which you feel some emotional distress or pain, bring your attention to the body awareness and just name the sensations and the emotional feelings. Identify where in the body you're feeling tightness, holding, burning, whatever that sensation is, where it is, and emotional feelings. Are you angry, frustrated, scared, irritated, or any other emotional feeling? Scan it. What's likely to happen is feelings and sensations change. They move. There's a movement. Or you may seem to be stuck or fixated on one particular dynamic of sensing an emotional feeling. Whatever it is, notice it. And then at the very same time, notice whatever thinking, thoughts going on, any story, evaluations. Now, the thinking is going to have two different levels. The first level, the first dimension of thinking is thinking about the situation or about the person. There's any judgments or evaluations you have about yourself or about the other person or the situation. And this is about simply noticing the thoughts. If you choose to, you can actually write a few of them down as well. Now, the other level is a little bit more subtle, the thinking. Now, it's regard to your entire experience. Are you noticing in your thinking anything where you want this unpleasant experience to end, where you're pushing it away, you want it to be over with, you want to feel something different than what you're feeling right now? Notice that or bring it to your awareness if there's anything like that going on. Again, in recognition of people going at different paces, I'm hoping you're all staying with me on this. Now there's another level with a total experience, bringing your attention to what happened that brought the emotional pain and distress. in the body awareness of all the sensations and feelings, the story, thoughts, judging the other person or yourself, the situation, any thoughts about resisting, wanting this feeling to go away. In the heart of that, is there something in you, in this energy, that you're really wanting? Is there some longing, not for a situation, like not longing for something to change, but are you longing for a quality? Are you longing for a deep need? Are you longing for understanding? Are you longing for acceptance? Longing, wanting integrity? Touch into this, if you can. Let yourself feel and sense how the longing lives in you, in the body, in the physical sensation of your longing. Okay, what I'd like to do now is I'd like to create the opportunity for each person to touch base with one other person. And I simply would like you, each person, to just speak about what you experienced, to share your present experience in this exercise that I guided you through, what you experienced, what came up, perhaps what your questions you're wanting clarity about, perhaps difficulty or resistance or obstacles that you might have had, shifts, any transformations that occurred in this short experience, anything like that. I see a hand up already. I want to say a couple of things before I ask you to speak. I do want to spend a little bit of time here because I want everybody to have some sense of value and understanding of this process. So the questions are very important. Questions to clarify and refine what this practice is so that you can benefit from it. And also any shared experiences that were valuable for you in this exercise and in the paired sharing, I'd like to hear. And there's some distinctions that I want to make, but I first would like to hear from you. You have your hand up.
I was working about, I wake up every morning with panic, and what I've been trying to do is breathe and feel it. But because I'm learning from you, I identified all the thoughts that I'm having, and
yeah.
I don't know how to get to the longing at all.
Yes.
It seems like I'm
okay.
Having to come up with some kind of word.
Yes. You're probably trying to do it prematurely, get to the longing before you address the thinking and all the thoughts and story you have around it, because I'm guessing that there is some conscious or unconscious core belief related to the panic. And I'm also guessing that it is something that is chronic. It's an ongoing pattern that you have experienced in your life for probably a while. Is that true?
Yeah, not all in the morning, but yes,
yeah.
During the day.
Periodic, sure. During the day or in the morning that happens. So this is to be uncovered. This exploration will uncover whatever beliefs and story you have that pervades periodically times in your life. So that's one element of the practice. I'm only going to be able to touch base on it. If we had more time, I could go more deeply into it. But the other part of the panic is, one practice is to, when you feel the experience, when you start to experience it next time, there's at least a two-step process, which is similar to the exercise we just did, is see if you can identify all the thoughts that you have about the panic. Just if the panic were to express thinking, stories, what are you panicked about? Just to write all that down. Notice it. That's one step. And just leave it at that. Once you identify that, whatever the thoughts are, whatever you identify perhaps fears are about, name it and then let it go for the moment. And then go into what I call the physical sensation of the panic itself, not the emotional part of it that has a cognitive component, but just the physical sensation. without the label panic, without naming it. Feel the physical sensation, breathe with the physical sensation, and you allow the physicality to flow in you without regarding it as good or bad, acceptable or unacceptable. It's simply a physical sensation. This is a practice that I would encourage you to do and to see how does that sit with you just to hear those two things.
The idea of looking at all the thoughts and the story and then that it's related to core beliefs, I really like that. I don't have any thoughts that make me panic. I wake up in a panic.
Yeah, I understand that.
So what are the thoughts about panicking?
Yeah. But even stay with it and just allow your imagination to, you may not have any conscious thought, but if you were to listen to the panic, if you're listening to panic, what are you afraid of? And just allow the thoughts to come. Don't make it up, but have a sensing of what is it? What is the panic about? You're afraid of what might happen. You're afraid you're going to make mistakes. You're afraid that you're not prepared for life. I'm just making that up. See if anything emerges.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a couple of other hands.
I really enjoyed the combination of noticing my thoughts and noticing what I wanted to go away. I haven't done noticing wanting to go away thoughts, and the irony of it was quite funny. It was the wanting the tension in my neck and my back to go away. When I got to what my longing was, it was for spaciousness, a sense of spaciousness. And I kept repeating this in my mind. Then I started laughing because I realized that my poor cells in my neck and my back wanted me to breathe in so that it could have spaciousness. And here I was just wanting it to go away.
Yeah.
And the irony was that, it actually needed quite a bit of attention. And in doing so, nothing else has changed, but I don't have so much pain. You know, I'm breathing in spaciousness.
Yeah. I'm glad that you had that experience. It really is very, very reflective of the principle here that I'm talking about. And, you know, a very simple process. And you might already have done this, I guess that you did, is you simply attend to it without any agenda. Mm-hmm. Attend to it means bringing simple awareness to the space or the location of the physical tension. Very gently, but clearly attend. As you're attending, you just breathe with no intention to make it go away. If you were to speak to the tension, it would be, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's okay for you to be here.
Notice that my tension started to speak to me when I attended to it. And it was the one that was saying, you know, I want some spaciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. One more hand.
I wanted to share that, well, first of all, it was astonishing to me when you suggested turning toward the pain. That hadn't occurred to me, even though I do it in lots of other ways in my life. This particular issue, which has to do with fear about an upcoming event, it hadn't occurred to me to really turn toward it beyond trying to make needs guesses for myself. And no wonder I see now, no wonder it just kind of fell flat. As far as I could get was like, I have a need for safety. And that's as far as I could get because I was only making a need guess to try to get the pain to go away.
Yes.
So once I could go into it a little bit more, I could see how much in my life my, what I would call habitual busyness and drivenness is a really deep longing just to believe in myself.
Yeah. Even as you say that, I have a sense, I'm just picking up on a sense that there is a very authentic feeling state in there. As you say, longing to believe in myself. I just have a sense that there's something that you feel inside as you say that, the longing for this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, tears come up right away. The deep-seated belief that I can't, just like what you said about, it's very easy for me to trace it to early childhood. Beliefs formed in childhood.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to make a distinction here that's very important in this work of self-compassion. Another word for it is unconditional self-acceptance. I found that it's the word self-acceptance or self-compassion isn't the most accurate way of describing or saying what this is, what this experience is. I think what's more accurate is to say acceptance of my inner experiencing, not acceptance of myself. I believe that in many people's, or perhaps most people's experience, the notion of self is such an abstraction that it doesn't point to the actuality of what's going on in the feeling, sensing, experiencing that is actually being accepted, allowed. So the acceptance of inner experiencing, I think, is a more accurate naming of what this process is. There's another distinction I want to make. This is very, very common, is that there's often a confusion. We talked about acceptance, the acceptance of the situation or the person. So I may be in relation to a situation or a person or a condition in my life, and there's a part of my mind that says, no, I don't like this. My needs aren't being met. And so the acceptance in this case, self-acceptance or self-compassion, is not about accepting the situation. It's not about accepting the other person. It's about when there is a situation that occurs, when there is a stimulating occurrence, an event, that outer event stimulates an inner space, an inner experiencing. Most of our conditioning goes towards outward experiencing situations, conditions, events, what people said or did or failed to say or do. And this is a turning inward. It's not necessarily ignoring it, but it's putting our attention into what I consider to be the primary area of our own inner experiencing state, the primary area of our liberation and our empowerment. So it's about acceptance of the inner experiencing in relation to outer events. This might be simple conceptually to understand, but I think in practice, it can be very challenging as well. So I'm hoping that that distinction is helpful to people. So what I'd like to do now is, one of the handouts that I provided is called Compassionately Embracing the Process. This is designed to be a meditation, kind of a guided process. What I would like to do now is to invite the whole group to follow as I go through this process in a guided manner for you to follow your own inner experiencing as I guide you through this. What I want to say at the outset here is that I'm aware that each person's experiencing goes at a different pace in a different form and shape for each person. It's unique. And so I'm aware that what I am doing in this guiding is a sort of general process that may not necessarily relate to each person. After this, I'm very curious to hear what your response is in this process, your experience response. But I'm also going to make a recommendation I'll be more complete in my recommendation after it, that you, after we do this process and the sharing, that you actually create your own unique version of this process. And I'll have a couple of suggestions about how to do that. You don't necessarily have to have the handout in front of you. What I prefer that you just follow along with your eyes closed, if that helps you to tune into yourself. So I think you start out by perhaps in the same situation that you were using before, or start out with an experience that's recent, that's alive still in you, where there is some sense of distress, frustration, disconnection that's in you. And there's a little preface I want to start with. When we experience pain, confusion, fear, anger, or other distressing states, we suffer. We're disconnected from an essential aliveness and relaxed presence. So approaching ourselves with compassion is the key to recovering our authentic aliveness and being. So again, this is a focus on the inner experience with respect to an outer event. It's not about the outer event itself. So this will take a little while, so I'm going to try to go at a pace that works for everybody. So first bring the event into your awareness and bring your inner felt experience in relation to what happened. Bring it into your awareness and breathe. As you're breathing, shift the focus on the inner feeling. Now simply attend to the inner feeling, all the different elements of it. Create spaciousness. Instead of resisting the painful contraction by reacting to any story, interpretations, and thinking that cause the constriction of your suffering, you allow the breathing to communicate bodily that there is space. There's room for this inner feeling experience to be. If the energy were to speak, the allowing says there's room for you to be. There's nothing wrong or right about this inner feeling. There's nowhere to go with it. There's nothing to fix. You're okay just as you are. So in this way, when we approach this distress, we're allowing it instead of resisting the feeling experience. Feel the energy flowing through the body as sensory, emotional realities, just as life energy is flowing through you. There's no morality about this energy, not right or wrong, appropriate, not bad, simply life energy seeking the flow. Notice if there's a hard edge or tight, becoming softer, perhaps more vulnerable. Breathe. You can feel at the edge of the tightness, is there a vulnerability? Open to and sense this vulnerable part as maybe a very young part, a very innocent part of you. This is the part, this inner part, that reacts to difficult situations by seeking to protect, by seeking safety. This young, innocent part sees events and situations as dangerous. They're going to hurt or restrict. By viewing and sensing this part of us as innocence, begins to awaken compassion in a way that the constriction begins to relax. Perhaps this painful and fearful feeling is fearful. And it's the message is, it's okay to be afraid. The fear is welcome. There's nothing wrong with your fear. You do not have to get over it or get through it. In fear, there is a wanting, a longing for something. In the fear or constriction, can you feel the longing? If you can't, that's okay. As we feel and sense the longing energy of this feeling, perhaps you can sense that the longing is for something precious, perhaps some warmth, something deeply comforting. We long for love, for that loving presence in which we can relax, knowing that we are held with care and tenderness. We continue to relax in the flow of breathing, gently allowing the life energy of feeling to flow. We can feel the sacredness of this energy. We begin to notice, perhaps this energy is not me, it's bigger than me. It is life, life's energy moving through us, like a flow, like a river. Perhaps you can sense a strength and a clarity in this presence as you relax into it. Allow this large life energy to hold us, encompass us. Perhaps you can sense a deep beauty in this living quality and feeling. We can allow this feeling of fullness to flow. It's an energetic quality, perhaps of something warm, something beautiful. And bring this feeling, if you can, slowly extending it to your body, to your entire body, to every cell in the body, each limb, to the tips of your fingers and toes, and beyond, to the room that you're in. To touch and imbue everyone that you see and everyone you can imagine and everyone in the entire world. Just allow whatever is going on. There's no place you're supposed to be in this exercise. Just whatever is there, flowing, moving, feeling, sensing. Just allow yourself to take a few more breaths right now. I'm very curious if anybody is in a place that you would like to speak about your experience you had in this guided meditation. I'd love to hear it, get some feedback.
I got lost in Veer. You know, I lost connection with you at some point because at the beginning it was kind of like, you know, allowing sort of space for the fear or something. I gave it.
Yeah, well, let me just take a minute with you if you would. Are you in touch with that fear now in any way?
Yeah.
Okay. So just would like to ask you to approach the fear as if it's a child in you, just a feeling state. I don't know if that has any resonance for you.
Yeah.
If this child were to speak, what is she afraid of? You ask her.
Yeah, it feels smothering. It feels like I had an image of somebody throwing a blanket on me. And
okay. Yeah. You're scared for your existence. You're scared that you're going to be hurt. And you want freedom. You want to breathe. Does that fit for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to make sure that you'll be okay, that you'll be supported and you won't be hurt.
Yeah.
Is that not a longing for care? You just want to know that you'll be cared for. Wanting to trust.
Safe, yeah.
Yeah. And as I say that and you get in touch with it, what do you feel in the body? Do you feel any sense of shifting or relaxing?
Yeah.
Do you have a sense that this part of you is not something new, this fearful part? It comes up in your life from time to time.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I could spend a lot more time with you, but this is the general direction, is where you start to approach the fear, part that is unyielding, with curiosity, as if it's perhaps a part that's hurt, perhaps a young part. And you're empathically listening with care. What does she want? What is she afraid of? Then you start to slowly relax internally.
Thank you. I just really connected with your compassion as you were just saying all that. Thank you.
Yeah, great. You're welcome.
I went into a deep trance during that meditation, and I'm really grateful for the experience. And I don't even know when that happened during the process. I just floated right into it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm curious that in the trance experience, did you feel a sense of energy, the feeling, sensing state in the body? What was that like?
It was like a floating.
Okay.
Like a weightlessness.
Uh-huh. Very light, very floaty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And was there a shift from the initial distress? Something happened with that. It moved.
Oh, yeah. I went from a very anxious state with kind of palpitations to that floating, weightless, timeless state.
Okay. Okay. I'm intrigued and there's a part of me that's would like to follow that further with you, and yet I want to address the rest of the group too. It's like all of this is very inspiring and fascinating for me. I'll leave you with this.
Thank you.
I think what moved me the most in terms of shifting from one sense to another was the getting in touch with the childhood part of my sadness and longing behind the sadness, and lots of tears with that, and yet some deeper awareness around my experiences that I've had in the past, and so a sense of spaciousness and hope with that, that it's the type of thing that I think I have visited over the decades periodically and addressed in one form or another, but this just took me into it so much more deeply and felt as though it helped me touch a greater authenticity. And what came finally was this just deep desire for ultimately a self-recognition of my own integrity and worthiness to exist.
Yeah. Wonderful. Beautiful. I'm very touched by hearing that. Yeah, it's very, very moving for me to hear your sharing. I mean, one sense of hearing you share is that the reason I moved is because I think it resonates with the part in me that you share about, that I believe that everyone, that we all have the vulnerable woundedness part of us, that because of various life experiences, we simply carry it in our system. And the part of recovering our wholeness requires that we move through the territory of our woundedness, that we actually make room to feel the woundedness. But the passageway, the guardians of our woundedness, keep us from doing this. Our fears keep us from it. The defenses that we have of how we protect and justify our existence and our something keeps us from the open, vulnerable woundedness that paradoxically, in my experience, that's where I find my strength. And Christine used the word integrity. But for me, there's a strength in this vulnerability that is absolutely unmovable and absolutely indestructible. So the paradox of vulnerability and indestructibility for me lie very much together. So thank you. I'm appreciative. I'm very happy that this short exercise supported you in this, in your experience.
For me, it was very much when you spoke of the life force. It was a wonderful feeling. And then it came up against this kind of shell, like an enclosure. That was the form of resistance. What happened then was a real fear about how do I get past that? What do I do now? How do I get beyond it? But as soon as I stopped banging on the door, wanting to go through and just sat back a bit, then it was like I was on the other side of it, looking at it rather than being it.
That's very interesting. I appreciate hearing that. But I think that what I'm hearing mostly is this shift. Something that happened that you created a different relationship to it. You said looking at it, it allowed you to move through it somehow. Is that what you said?
Yeah, sitting back from it a little bit.
Yeah. I'm interpreting the looking at it as, instead of trying to push through it, you simply let it be. You are watchful of it. And as you're saying that, I mean, that is one of, it's kind of an inner skill. And I wanted to just finish my interaction with you on this and make reference to another handout that I sent you. In this compassionately embracing life, I've noticed identifying the different, what I call awareness, capacities, and skills. And as you do this practice, I think it's important to notice that there are different phases in this inner process that I walked you through. And I'd like you to review this on your own. I'm just going to go over the highlights of it. But there's a general movement from you start out in the disposition of a contraction, a constriction, the suffering, distressing experience. And as we bring the attending to, simple awareness, eventually that hard edge begins to relax. This is a stage, but it's actually a skill to allow it to do that. Then it begins to relax, and what's on the other side of the relaxation is a softer, something more vulnerable. There's a vulnerability. And as you enter into the vulnerability, there is a longing and a yearning. It requires, one of the characteristics of self-compassion is patience. There's no pushing. There's an infinite patience. So this is like the sort of broad phases, the four broad phases. Then I noticed there is a capacity. Many people are not able to say, what do you mean felt energy in the body? What is that? It takes time to develop what is meant by the feeling and sensing movement in the body. And then there's another capacity to be able to differentiate between I feel something and then there's a story, an interpretation that's associated with this feeling. So if I have a feeling I call overwhelm, I'm mixing in a story with an actual feeling. So if I can differentiate between overwhelm and the story and thought I have about the experience, this is an ability. This is a capacity that is very essential. And then the other one that a couple of people have spoken to already is the ability to recognize the nature of my resistance. Just a moment ago, someone said, I've noticed that my thinking is that my resistance to my experience is I don't like it. I want it to end. I want to fix this feeling. So I'm just naming some of these inner awareness and capacities, and I'd like you all to review this and see if it has any meaning for you as you track in your inner experiencing the different phases or stages of this process. You'll be able to see that each one of these phases entails an inner skill or a capacity, as I call it. I do want to make a recommendation near the end, but I'm wanting to know if there's anyone who has any further questions or sharing. I'd like to hear from perhaps anybody that hasn't spoken. Is there anybody that's had any, just needs some clarity about something? Maybe there's something that I said, something in the exercise that you don't fully understand, because I really value people having a clear understanding that will allow the practice to go easier, more productive. So does anybody just need to have more clarity about anything that I've said?
Could you say more about how does the longing live in me? Because what I want to say is that the longing is dormant or it's buried or...
Well, it would be something that you experience with any given experience that you're feeling. You start with that. So if you start with a distressing experience, you might not ask yourself, how does the longing live in me yet, until you're able to feel more in the preliminary stages the sense of connecting with this experience. So in other words, if you're saying, I don't know what the longing is, it may be that you're asking it prematurely. Mm-hmm. I'm just guessing that might be the case.
So this is more like getting to a place where I can remember having that longing in my life.
That's one way to do it. Do you have a specific experience that you were experiencing that you were not able to touch into the longing right now so that I can connect to it more readily?
Being myself is one of the longings that I have.
Well, one of the ways to start is by getting clarity. What do you mean by being yourself? What does that mean?
Well, it comes out of a tiredness of trying to be somebody that I'm not, of trying
okay.
to please other people.
So you can use a specific example of that. If you can think of a specific example where you did something and your intention was trying to please someone else, you start with a specific example rather than a broad pattern. So that's where I would suggest you start. I think it's impossible to connect to yourself in a general way. Like, it's a thought, it's a general idea, the idea of being yourself. It's too general. I'm going to suggest this exercise for you that you can do after the class. You think of a specific instance in which you did something that you said was not consistent with something that's more authentic in you. And isn't that what you mean by being yourself? You want to express
yes.
something authentic rather than something that's not authentic?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one thing. You find tonight a specific instance in which you did this. And then you identify what needs or values were you trying to express when you were doing something that was not authentic? What needs were you trying to meet? Connect with that. And I'm guessing that maybe you're just wanting acceptance. You want to be accepted for who you are, and your mind is thinking that if you act a certain way in which you think that would be acceptable, then maybe that would give it to you. But it just so happens that it's not really what you're feeling. So first identify, what is your authenticity? Can you name it? If you were to be authentic in this situation, what would that look like? What would that feel like?
I could say what was true for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So imagine doing that. You say what's true for you while you're respecting the other person's needs. Their needs matter too.
There's a lot of relief.
That. Ah, okay. And in this relief, do you have a sense of your own authenticity? Are you being true to yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It gets to the spaciousness.
Yeah. This is what you long for. You long for, isn't it, to be true to your own authenticity, to live it, and to not act from fear? Because I think when you act for approval of others, I believe that it's mostly out of fear, because you probably want to be accepted. Just a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to move on to the final one.
I really noticed how seamlessly you guided us. And my curiosity right now is around, I'm thinking of myself as a facilitator. I just want to explore what other wordings and how did you do that? Because I just love how it seamlessly happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that goes into my recommendation for this practice. I'm going to recommend the whole group practice, which is kind of the answer that I, hopefully partial answer to what your question is. In the handout that's called Compassionately Embracing the Process, it's kind of an approximation of what I did. I changed some of the wordings that occurred to me as I spontaneously did. I'd like you to read through that, but read through it in a way that's alive and apply your own experience to it. And there's two possibilities. I'd like you to create your own process that goes through the similar phases and use your own words. And I'd like you to do it in one of two ways. First is the process of applying this compassionately embracing process to a particular experience of yours. And this is all changeable. You can have different versions, do different versions of it. But actually record your voice. Record your own voice. Someone that wouldn't want to name names without his permission, but who did this and recorded his voice and did this every day. And he found it quite useful and very helpful for him. And then you can go at your own pace, so that the four phases I made reference to earlier is you start with the contracting experience, you bring your awareness to it, you notice any thoughts or story, you name it, all the while bringing attention to the feeling, sensing in the body. You notice the allowing. It moves into something more soft and vulnerable. And then ask, if it's there, it's fine. If it's not there, that's fine too. Is there a young part, a very innocent part? And then the longing. So there are those different phases that you'll see throughout this guided process. And that would be my recommendation for you to even use this as is, and go through the process and experientially apply it to your own situation, or create your own either written form or recorded form in your own voice. I'm hoping that you'll find this useful and that you would apply this practice between now and the next time. So I think with that, I'd like to bring this class to a close and want to express my gratitude and appreciation for all of you and your presence and your participation. Until next time.